What then shall we say in response to these things, everything we've just read about? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who then is the one who condemns? No one. Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. This is the word of the Lord. And we respond together saying, thanks be to God. Amen. We live in desolate times. The prophet Daniel speaks of the Antichrist as, quote, the one who makes desolate. According to the Merriam-Webster Collegiate Dictionary, one definition of desolate is joyless, devoid of warmth, comfort, or hope. The Hebrew word translated desolate here carries the sense of being appalled. When something appalls us, shocks, and dismay overcome us, even disgust or revulsion. For those of us who lived through the attacks of 9/11, 2001, the attacks were devastating and they appalled us. We found it difficult to believe what we were seeing. We were asking ourselves, how could this happen? One thing that was certain, there was almost universal recognition and agreement that we were witnessing evil in action. In Daniel, what makes the Antichrist appalling is that he desecrates the temple of God, that place which God had set apart as a mini restoration of Eden, the place where heaven touches earth and God meets with his people. While the Antichrist, the specific person of Antichrist, has not yet appeared, the Apostle John tells us that many Antichrists have already come and that the spirit of Antichrist is working in the world. Dear children, this is the last hour. And as you have heard that the Antichrist is coming, even now many Antichrists have come. This is how we know it is the last hour. Who is the liar? It is whoever denies that Jesus is the Christ. Such a person is the Antichrist, denying the Father and the Son. How many people do you know that denies that Jesus is the Christ? But every spirit that does not acknowledge Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you heard is coming, and even now is already in the world. The foundational assumptions in our secular times are: 1, God does not exist. 2, if Jesus existed, he was certainly not the Christ, the Messiah, the only Savior of the world for all people. The more ingrained these assumptions become in our nation and in the world, the more appalling things we see happening. It makes the world a joyless and hopeless place, a desolate place. And that's not to say that we can't individually or sometimes as a group have happiness and joy and experience that. And that even those outside of the Lord have some experiences of those. But we're talking about what happens when a culture in general abandons the Lord. It leads to joylessness and hopelessness. It leads to desolation. John Eldridge, in his book Resilient, describes the symptoms of our cultural desolation like this: a sort of dullness of heart, a poverty of spirit, a barrenness of soul. Disappointment, so understandable given the circumstances, collapses into disillusionment. Neither hope nor joy comes easily. Worst of all, there comes a kind of blankness in our life with God. Faith feels flat or dumb or simply gone. We are disappointed with God, and we feel we don't believe in Him anymore. On top of this, there's our constant struggle with sin. The Apostle Paul felt this struggle deeply and wrote these words in Romans 7. For I do not do the good I want to do, but the evil that I do not want to do. This I keep on doing. Now if I do what I do not want to do, it's no longer I who do it, but it is sin living in me that does it. What wretched man I am. Who will rescue me from this body that is subject to death? Yet God always promised His people restoration in their desolation. The prophet Isaiah wrote these words: when the poor and needy search for water and there is none, and their tongues are parched from thirst, then I, the Lord, will answer them. The God of Israel will never allow them to be abandoned. I will open up rivers for them on the high places. I will give them fountains of water in the valleys. I will fill the desert with pools of water. Rivers fed by springs will flow across the parched ground, I will plant trees in the barren desert, cedar, acacia, myrtle, olive, cypress, fir, and pine. I am doing this so all who see this miracle will understand what it means, that it is the Lord who has done this, the Holy One of Israel who created it. God says, in effect, when your sin has left you high and dry, without recourse, and you're desperate, I will provide water to restore your life. For I have never abandoned you. The language here is the language of a restored Eden, the place where heaven touches earth, where God meets with his children. God delivers on his promise, restoring Eden in our hearts through faith in Jesus Christ. Jesus said, anyone who is thirsty, anyone who is thirsty, who is parched, who is dry, may come to me. Anyone who believes in me may come and drink. For the scriptures declare, rivers of living water will flow from his heart. In response to this, the Apostle Paul wrote, therefore, there is now no condemnation for those of us who are in Christ Jesus. To be in Christ Jesus simply means to belong to Jesus. There is now no condemnation for those of us who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free from the law of sin and death. You see, belonging to Jesus is our joyful hope. When we read these words, immediately we feel great relief, knowing that in the middle of our great struggle with sin and the desolation of our culture, there is no condemnation for us because we belong to Jesus Christ. Not simply because we believe in Jesus, but because Jesus lives in us and we live in him. We feel thankful that the Spirit who lives in us sets us free from the certain condemnation of the law of sin and death. We are awestruck by the love of God for us, who instead of leaving us to die in our sin and face his eternal judgment, sent his own Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, in human body, who never sinned in that body, and therefore deserved life and honor and not punishment and death. This same Jesus paid the price in his sinless body for every sin everyone has ever committed in their body, in the past, in the present, and in the future. We feel awestruck that Jesus did this so that the righteous requirement of the law would be fully met. Not partially met, not a little bit met, fully met in you and in me, in us, regarding righteousness. There is nothing lacking in us, because Jesus paid the penalty of our sin, and now lives His righteousness in us. We feel the desire to let the Spirit control more of our mind, to control more of our emotional desires. We are more and more controlled by the Spirit so that we experience a mind full of life and peace. We are deeply grateful and find powerful encouragement that we do, in fact, please God, despite all of our sins, because the Spirit of Christ lives in us. God delights in the righteous life of Jesus in us. Therefore, just as the Father loves His Son, so the Father loves us with that same love. Can you wrap your mind around that? That Jesus, the God, the Father loves you just as much as He loves His Son, Jesus Christ? And why is this so? Because we and the Son are one. Jesus lives in us, and we live in Jesus. We experience life physically and spiritually. God gives life to our mortal bodies in this world and the next. God calls forth and sustains our physical life through the indwelling of His divine presence. Now we can live in ways that benefit and honor our body as the temple of the Holy Spirit. And when Christ returns, He will raise our dead body incorruptible. We can see and hear the Spirit of God leading us. To be led, one must be able to see or hear the leader. We can easily trace how God has led us and spoken to us through our whole life. We experience openness. I call it a metaphorical open-handedness. We experience this to receive a physical gift, we must open our hands to receive it. And when somebody places that physical gift in our hands, we can feel its substance. It has a weight. It has shape. Likewise, when we receive the Spirit of God in our open-handed heart, we can feel the substance of it in our soul. We know that we are no longer alone and that we will never be alone. The fear of isolation in this world and in the next is displaced by the life-giving gift of the Spirit who lives in us forever. Because the Spirit has sealed our adoption as a child of God, we speak from the depths of our souls crying, Abba, Father. All that is Christ is ours. The sufferings of Christ are ours. Therefore, in this life, we suffer. The glory of Christ is ours. Therefore, in this life, we suffer with joy, knowing that the day is coming when God will wipe every tear from our eyes. The Spirit of Jesus transforms our minds so that we can think differently about our present sufferings. We consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing to the glory that Jesus is working in us. We, along with all creation, wait with an eager expectation for the freedom and the glory of the children of God to be revealed. We, as we wait, Our eager expectation pours out in a groaning for the full completion of the adoption process and the full redemption of our body. Because of all these glorious benefits that we have in Christ Jesus, we have hope. And we're willingly, patiently waiting to receive it in full. Even after we die, we still have something to hope for. We will look forward to the redemption of our physical body when Christ brings to fulfillment the reconciliation of all things to Himself. Because the Spirit has so transformed our understanding, we have knowledge about certain things that persons without the Spirit cannot know. For example, we know God works all things for our good. There's not a whole lot of people that know that. But if you have the Spirit of God in you, you know that. You know that. That He's working all things for our good because we are called according to His purpose, which is to conform us into the image of His Son, Christ Jesus, our Lord. And now we experience that God predestines us. God calls us. God justifies us. God glorifies us. We experience Almighty God and Almighty God alone securing our salvation in this life and in the life to come. From start to finish, it's all Him. Therefore, our Lord Jesus says about all persons who believe in Him these words: My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. We experience complete victory, total security, confident freedom, for there is no condemnation in Christ Jesus our Lord. Belonging to Jesus is our joyful hope for our lives. So how can we experience this hope every day? To experience Jesus in us, we must belong to Jesus. To belong to Jesus, we must receive the gift of the Spirit. For the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. To experience the promise of life and peace in the Spirit, we must more and more let the Spirit govern our mind, our desires, and how we use our body. Well, how do I know I belong to Jesus and that the Holy Spirit lives in me? We can begin by asking ourselves these questions. Am I moving toward life in my mind, emotions, body, and soul? Or am I moving toward death? If I keep living as I'm living, will the way I'm living renew my spiritual life even as my body decays? Or will my spiritual life decay along with my body? If your general trend is moving toward life, you have the Spirit, for the Spirit is the giver of life, the only giver. If you're moving toward death, you don't have the Spirit, because the fruit of the flesh is death. Do I have a growing sense that I am a child of God? If so, you have the Spirit. Because it is the Spirit in us that testifies to us in our hearts that we are children of God. Do I desire to find my satisfaction in God alone? Or do I desire to find my satisfaction in the things of the world? If you desire God, it is because the Spirit of God is in you. If you have no desire whatsoever to find satisfaction in God, it is because the Spirit of God is not present in your life. Can I suffer with joy because my hope is in the promise Christ is working in me a glory that one day will be eternally evident to everyone? If so, I have the Spirit of God because only God can give us that kind of persevering hope. Can I remember how God has led me in the past? Am I aware of how the Spirit of God is leading me now? If so, the Spirit of God is in you, and you belong to Christ. For as many who are led by the Spirit are the children of God. So how do we live a life controlled by the Spirit of God? Three things are necessary. First, we must have a desirable vision of our lives as one led by the indwelling Spirit of Jesus. Jesus promises us real life, real peace, and the confident assurance that we belong to Him, body and soul, in life and in death. As we come towards the end of our message now, I want to ask you, can you visualize what that kind of life would look like practically for you? Would you close your eyes and just leave them closed until I ask you to open them again and respond in your heart and mind to what I suggest here? I want you to close your eyes and let a mental vision or a deep emotion form in your being of the life and peace that can be yours as you yield completely to the Spirit of Jesus in you. What would yielding completely to the Spirit of Jesus in you look like or feel like? Let that form in your heart and mind. When you have a sense of that, then ask yourself, is this the life I really desire? If a life led and fed by the indwelling Spirit is what we really want, we must intend to live our lives governed by the indwelling Spirit of Jesus. To intend something is to commit to that thing. It is to set our will, our mind, our action, and our emotions on achieving that which we intend. As you remain with your eyes closed, does this prayer echo the desire of your heart? Lord Jesus, today I make it my intent to surrender my heart, my mind, and my body completely to be filled by the Holy Spirit. Lord Jesus, who lives in me, fill me with your peace and life. If this is the prayer of your heart, then in your mind and heart, say it along with me as I pray it again. Lord Jesus, today I make it my intent to to surrender my heart, my mind, and my body completely to be filled by the Holy Spirit. Lord Jesus, who lives in me, fill me with your life and peace. Continuing with your eyes closed, if we have a desirable vision for God's promise to us, and we have set our intention to live into that promise, we then must take faith-infused action. A faith-infused action is an act we take and continue to take, believing that God will honor it and cause us to make progress, whether we feel like it or not, or whether we see immediate progress or not. This is spiritual discipline. If we want to live a life governed by the Spirit of Jesus living in us, we must set our minds on what the Spirit desires, and we must set our minds, and we must not set our minds on the sinful desires of our human nature. We can begin this discipline by simply noticing what we are thinking, feeling, saying, and doing. And then ask, is this making me more like Jesus? Or is this making me less like Jesus? Then we adapt. We do more of what makes us like Jesus. And we work to eliminate that which makes us less like Jesus. So with your eyes closed, allow the Spirit to bring answers to these questions to your heart and mind. Holy Spirit, what things in my life are leading me away from Jesus? Jesus, who lives in me, show me how to eliminate these things from my life. Work through and with me, Lord, to eliminate these things. Please do for me that which I cannot do for myself. Now ask, Holy Spirit, what things in my life are leading me to Jesus? Jesus, who lives in me, show me how to increase these things in my life. Work through and with me, Lord, to do more of these things. Please do for me that which I cannot do for myself. Now, with your eyes closed still, tell Jesus how much you love him. Tell Jesus how much you love him because you belong to him. How much you love him because he is the joyful hope of your life. Tell him how much you love him for the complete victory, the total security, and the confident freedom you have because his Spirit is alive in you. And finally, tell Jesus how much you love him because there is no condemnation for you, because you belong, body and soul, in life and in death, to your faithful Savior. Thank you, and you may open your eyes now. Brothers and sisters, belonging to Jesus is the joyful hope of our lives. Through the Spirit of Jesus living in us, we experience complete victory, total security, and confident freedom. For there is no condemnation for us in Christ Jesus our Lord. And it's all ours. when we have a desirable vision of living a life governed by the Spirit of Jesus in us, we set our intent of our heart upon achieving that experience, and we take faith-infused actions toward that end. Let us pray. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we thank you for your life inside of us that draws us to you, that gives us hope, that is our hope. And we're so grateful. Words can't even begin to express how grateful we are, and we're thankful. And Lord, we just want to tell you how much we love you, because you have so loved us in all the ways that we have read this morning. It is beyond our imagination. Lord, we ask that by the power of your Spirit living in us, that we will be controlled by your Spirit, that we will experience more and more a life of life and peace as we're led by your Spirit. That's life and peace in no matter what conditions or circumstances we find ourselves in. Now, that's the promise. And that's our desire. It's what we hope. And we set our intent upon it. And help us, Lord, to take the right actions, to walk towards the things that make us more like you and away from the things that make us less like you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.